We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Psalm 55:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, as you know, what we're doing here now is once a month we're taking a Wednesday night and we're putting our focus entirely upon prayer and beginning to make prayer a much higher priority in our lives. And tonight's message is simply becoming a person of prayer. I think that most of us want to become more effective in our prayer life. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. I haven't met anybody who says, you know, I'm all prayed up, I'm good on my prayers. I haven't met anybody who ever comes to me and says, Pastor, could you show me how to cool back on my prayers? As normally, I really need. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, they're like, how can I be better, more effective? We all know what it is to pray. I mean, this is the Wednesday night crowd. Most of you are Bible scholars. I mean, I know that. And so we know what it means to pray. But if statistics are to be believed, and I think that they are for the most part, what we're finding is that most people are not really praying. Average Christian is praying 3 minutes a day, if that. Jesus said in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19 that his Father's house is to be a house of what? Does anybody know? Prayer. A house of what? Prayer. House of prayer. Said it in three passages. He said this, by the way, it's important to note. He said this, does anybody know what he was doing as he was uttering this? He was flipping tables. He was cracking the whip. Okay. They had turned the church, God's house, into a den of thieves. And what Jesus was saying was that his Father wants a people that are seeking him in prayer. Not a place to be used for something other than it was intended. And one of the best places and the best ways to seek God is corporately and in church. Now, sadly today, what we're finding is that a lot of churches are far from houses of prayer, but are more like emporiums of entertainment. In fact, many churches are not a house of prayer, but rather a house of preaching, programs, and productions. That's what most people actually want, by the way. They want this. They want a house of preaching. They don't want a house of prayer. They want a house of programs. They don't want a house of prayer. They want a house of productions. Prayer, I mean, we can pray. I mean, why do we got to come to church to pray? We should know that the Old Testament, the Bible is very clear, was written so that we might have some understanding. It gives insight into some things in the New Testament. And we should know that when God's house is misused and abused, you find that he stops showing up. He's not welcome anymore. We're starting to misuse the whole idea, the concept of coming together. And when God's house is misused and abused, he stops showing up. And while we can have all of the symbols of church, what we're missing is his presence. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel had made the catastrophic mistake of thinking that just because they had the ark, the symbol of God's presence, that they actually had God's presence. And so here they were on the eve of a huge battle, and they were outnumbered, and the Philistines were there, and they had this brilliant idea. They said, we know we're going to go get the Ark of the Covenant, because if the Ark of the Covenant comes, then surely God will be here, and surely we will be victorious. Well, the problem was God's presence had left them a long time ago for continual and persistent disobedience. And they somehow thought that if they just got the Ark of the Covenant, they could win the ensuing battle against the Philistines without repenting and seeking God. It's a dangerous thing, you know, because if you read the Scriptures, some of us, if we're not careful, can find that maybe we've been ignoring God's presence for so long, we don't even know he's not there anymore. And the reality is, while we never lose our salvation, the closeness that we should have with God is no longer existent. We should know that God's presence is not found in things that are made with hands, but in the hearts and minds of his people who are seeking him. He does his best work in the battlefield of our hearts. And the battle that day on the field ended up being in a total slaughter and annihilation. Israel didn't just lose badly, they got whooped. They got decimated. And Israel learned that rabbit foot theology does not work. and that God is not a genie who jumps in and out of our lives, giving us what we want when we want it. The tragedy for many Christians and churches is that we never really tap into the power of prayer. Guilty. We often have the same mindset of Israel, that we want God to sort of pop in and out of our lives as and when we need Him, you know? A little crisis here, a little sickness there, a little trial here. But when the storm is past, so do our prayers. You see, the essence of prayer is seeking God. It is to seek His heart and then seek His hand. Lord, I want to know You day by day. I want to need You in my life. Long before I want You to do something for me, going to God immediately with God, do this and give me this and help me with this. It's to seek His heart, to pursue His character and to love Him, to learn of Him and to allow Him to lead you. You will find that the more you do this and the more you come to know Him, the more your prayers will not only change, but they will increase. And we come to verses like 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without what? Pray without ceasing. I told you guys were Bible scholars. You got the whole Bible memorized. Pray without ceasing. That's an easy memory verse, isn't it, church? It's about as quick and easy as John 11:35, isn't it? Jesus wept, but perhaps one of the most important verses in all of the Bible, because you saw the character and nature of Jesus' heart. This text tells us, pray without ceasing. Lest you think it's just a New Testament principle, Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I, what? Pray. Evening, morning, say it. Noon. What the psalmist is saying is what? All the time. Because it's only morning for so many hours, and then it's noon for so many hours, and then it's evening for so many hours. He says, at evening and at morning and at noon, I will pray and I will cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Now, most of us know these verses. And if we're honest, if you can't be honest in God's house, God help you, okay? They often can cause guilt. And a lot of pastors will use a passage like this to browbeat their people or to guilt their people. And that's not my heart at all. Because sometimes we read a passage like this and we think, man, I'm not praying without ceasing. I mean, do I have to bow my head and close my eyes as I drive my car? Not a good idea, okay? I know you have GPS and maybe your car parks itself, but listen, it doesn't make everybody around you real comfortable when they see you going down the road like this, okay? We read 1 Thessalonians 5:17 or 18, and we read Psalm 55, and we think, well, I'm not praying at morning and at evening and at noon. Sometimes they cause questions, and they, well, how can I do that? I mean, I've got to work, I got to take care of the kids, I got errands to run, I got a job to do, I got TV to watch, I got Facebook to check. I mean, how can I possibly accomplish praying all the time, Lord? Why would you set a standard so high? And if that's the standard, then what's the point? I mean, some of us think, well, God already knows what I want. Why should I ask Him? See, some of us, we look at prayer as a time issue. And that can be an easy thing for somebody like me with the way I'm wired and just the way I look at stuff. Okay, I'm going to block out so much time to pray. And so suddenly prayer becomes a discipline only in my life. That at this time is when I pray. And this is when I commune with God. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm just saying that some of us tend to think of prayer only as a time issue. Some of us tend to think of prayer only as a talent issue. I don't really pray that well because I don't pray that well. I don't pray that often because I don't... You know, I recently told somebody, they were talking about this subject, and I said, you don't have a talking problem. You have a communication problem with God. Most of us know how to talk, don't we? Some of us don't know how to shut up, is the truth, okay? The issue is that we don't know how to talk, is that we don't know how to talk to God. And then we hear somebody else talk to God and we think, well, I don't know, I don't talk like that. Why should I talk then? For some of us, it's a timid issue. We won't pray out loud or in public, but Again, it's not because we don't have a talking issue. It's this. See, my heart's not to be harsh in any way tonight, but people who don't want to pray in public ever, or can't seem to carry on an intelligent conversation with God in an open setting with other brothers and sisters, is often a sign of people who are not praying in private. And so better to let people think you pray and not pray at all than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I read this. I don't know who said it. I thought it was interesting. It said that most Christians can make a prayer request for just about anything, but can't seem to pray for nothing. You know, it's very interesting. I've been in ministry a long time. And the quickest way to hear crickets in a church is to say, okay, we're going to pray. Whoever wants to pray, you start us out. Now, the reverse of that is equally true. If I say, okay, who has got a prayer request? Hands go up. Pray for my neighbors, Aunt Betty's, Martha's, friends, toenail fungus. And pray for... it's like... What? We want to submit a prayer request to the church. Put your seatbelts on, please. But we don't want to show up Wednesday night to pray for it. We want to talk about prayer, but we don't have a church prayer bulletin with us in our devotional time. We want to call the preacher and say, Pastor, you ought to pray for this. See, the reality is that if a church is ever going to have a high priority on prayer and be a house of prayer, then myself included, we as individuals have to become people of prayer, a person of prayer. Now, these two simple verses and many others like them can't be seen through the lens of human sinfulness. To do so produces the very thoughts in others that I just mentioned. Rather, these passages on prayer and many, many others like them that we're going to be looking at once a month on a Wednesday night as we're just going to continue to drive this theme of prayer, they have to be seen through spiritual eyes. We have to discover for ourselves that to pray is to bring our desires into alignment with His. And as this happens, our perspective changes. As you suddenly begin to bring your desires into alignment with God, your perspective changes. And then here's the second thing that changes. Your petitions change. What you're asking for changes. The priority on your prayer journal or your prayer chart or your prayer list, the priorities start to change. And I tell you what else starts to change. You start to change. I start to change. Now, if we can understand three basic things tonight concerning prayer, it's going to help us stay on course. So here's the first one. Prayer is worship. Prayer is worship. What do I mean when I say that? Worship is to seek God. It's to seek God. It is the realization, ready, that He is worthy and we are needy. Now, I could have done a whole sermon just on that. Okay. Prayer is the realization. It's going to God because immediately, the moment you begin to pray, what you're saying is, God, I'm coming to you because you're worthy and I'm needy. It begins with a confession. When's the last time you confessed something in prayer? When's the last time you confessed something to God in prayer? The very nature of prayer is confessional. It's to go to Him. It's to say, I need you. I'm confessing that I can't do this without you. I can't fix this problem. I can't change this person. I can't bring my wayward child home. I can't fix this problem, this addiction. I need you. I'm confessing the song that we were singing tonight. Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Prayer is confession. It's immediately admitting you're in need of help. That's hard for us to do, isn't it? Some of you don't even want to acknowledge that right now. That's not hard. It's hard to admit we need help. Say amen to that. I'm going to talk about that Sunday in my sermon, about something that happened to me and how it relates to what I'm doing on Sunday, the text, restoring one another. It's hard to, we don't want to admit we need help. And here's the truth. God took me to the spiritual woodshed on this many years ago. And that is this, that prideful people don't pray. Prideful people don't pray because their mindset is, I got this. This is no big deal. I've done this before. I can handle this. I know this. You see, prideful people don't want to worship. They want to be worshipped. That's why they don't pray, because they don't really think God's worthy of worship, or they only pray a little bit because they don't think God's really worthy of a lot of worship. And people who are not praying, don't get mad now, okay? People who are not praying tend not to be very happy. I don't meet very many people who are prayer warriors who are miserable. You know, some of the sweetest people I've ever met are people who are praying all the time. People who are just connected and in tune with God. There's a spirit about them. And you think, man, how'd you get like that? Let me tell you something. You spend time in God's presence, it'll change your countenance. People who aren't praying, there's no joy in their soul. There's no gladness. Here's what I've discovered. It's hard to worship God and be in a state of misery and stay that way. Right? Have you ever been irritated with somebody? I'm just not sure, but have you ever been irritated with someone? Can I see your hands? Yeah. Let me help you if I can. One of the fastest ways to get over that is to start to pray for them. And then you know what God does? He brings them into your path. And you're like, I've been praying, and now here they are. I was hoping, God, you'd just wipe them out so I wouldn't have to deal with them. It's hard to harbor bitterness in your heart when you're praying for that person. I want you to hear what the psalmist says. This is a powerful psalm, but in Psalm 40, verse 16, 17, he says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be what? Glad. Where? Don't miss that. Don't just say rejoice and be glad. Anybody can get glad and emotional at a song or a concert. All right, that's fine. Start clapping at a song. Great. He says, be glad in what? In thee. Then he says, let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be what? Magnified. Now notice what he just did. He put all the emphasis on who? And then he says, but I'm poor and needy. Amen. How many of you are poor and needy? Say amen. Amen. He said, I'm poor and needy. By the way, kids, King David, right? And I'm poor and needy. The king? I'm poor. You're not poor. He's poor. He said, because when I look at you, Lord, I'm dirt. I'm poor and I'm needy. And this verse just pulverized me this week as I thought about it. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Who am I? God, you thought about me. You answered my prayer this week. God thinks about me. You're my help. You're my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. You see, as we worship God in and through prayer, what we are doing is we are centering ourselves on Him. And we are discovering what God's agenda is for our life through prayer. Going to Him with the mindset of obedience instead of us bringing our agenda to Him and saying, God bless my agenda. That's not how we go to God. We go with worship and prayer. So we start from this premise. Simple premise. So what's the first point? Prayer is what? Everybody, prayer is what? One more time. Prayer is? Okay. Second thing, prayer is work. Somebody say amen. Don't act like it's not work. It's work. Listen, my alarm goes off, or this morning I get up at 5:15, and my flesh is like, stay in the bed, stay in the bed, stay in the bed. Right?
Yeah.
The disciples were onto something when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. I did a long series on this, you know this, but they didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. Right? They didn't say, Lord, teach us to teach. Teach us to heal. Teach us to sing. Teach us to write. Teach us to walk on water. How'd you do that with the fish and bread? We want to do that. They didn't ask that. There's a lot of things they could have asked the Lord. But they said, teach us to what?
Pray.
You see, they overheard Jesus praying. And they saw him praying. And they said, that's something we don't have. We don't pray like that. We don't have that kind of relationship with the Father. And we're not sure how to do that. Help us, Lord. Why? Because prayer is relational. Do you know that relationships take work? You know that, right? Like that, if you're in a relationship and your relationship's not going well, it's not going to get better unless you work at it. You pray all you want. You got to do something. Prayer is you communicating with God. And so you have to work through the tiredness, work through the distractions, work through your motives, work through the authenticity of why you're praying. Look, I don't talk to my wife because I have to. I don't get home in the driveway and go, all right, let me muster up what I'm going to say. Okay, and then go in the house. How was your day? What is for dinner? What are you doing tomorrow? That's so old, isn't it? That's how some of us talk to God, though. Bless my family. Bless my kids. Change my rotten husband. Right? There's times I come home and I'm tired and Angela and I have been together a long time. Sometimes I don't want to talk. She wants to talk. Sometimes she doesn't want to talk. I want to talk. Sometimes it's nice when we both don't want to talk. Then that's okay. But God's really great, isn't he? Because he never doesn't let that happen very much, right? He wants you to grow in your relationship. Sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes she's distracted. Sometimes I'm upset. I walk in. What's wrong? Nothing. Oh, I can tell. How was your day? Fine. Okay. But see, here's the deal. I don't talk to her because of my feelings. I talk to her because I know the importance of making time and having meaningful conversation. And I know the damage that occurs in our relationship if we don't talk. Because silence is deafening. See, don't boil your prayer down to just a discipline. There's a great book called The Spiritual Disciplines, but I got some issues with it because sometimes it makes the Christian life like a list of duties. Good stuff in there. I read the book years ago. I have it. I think it's great, but you know, I do this, 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 equals spirituality. Prayer comes down to desire. Listen carefully, not in your handout, but listen carefully. Prayer comes down to desire and desperation. And desperation. You see, once you figure out what's actually available to you through prayer, and prayer becomes your reality, you get to the point where you never want to go without it. You don't want to not pray. You just find that, yeah, I got to work at this. I'm tired or I'm discouraged or I'm upset or God, I'm kind of mad right now and I don't really want to talk, but Lord, I know I need to talk to you. It's work. Look what Jesus did in Mark 1:35. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And what did he do? Now, don't you ever say you're too busy to pray if Jesus made time to pray. What you're saying is you're lazy or you don't want to. That's what I say. I say, I didn't have time to pray today. I had time. Wasn't a priority. What I love about this text, without going too deep into it because of our time tonight, first of all, you should notice in the text, we'll just leave the verse on the screen for a moment, you'll notice that Jesus had a specific time. What's the text say? Keep reading. Now that's the part we don't like. We like the morning, but we don't like a great while before the day. It means before the sun was up. It was dark. Before he did anything else. You can disagree with what I'm about to say. That's okay. I'll accept your apology after the service. It's fine. Mornings are usually the best time for you to meet with God. They just are. Some of you have diverse schedules. I understand that. I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying you're sinful if you don't meet God in the morning. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's normally the best time. I sent my staff an email the other day about 6 reasons why you really shouldn't check your cell phone in the morning. Just get up and meet with God. He had a place. What does it say? He went out. Out where? Out from his bed. Out from wherever he was sleeping. And he went to a what? I shared this not long ago. Your solitude will affect your attitude. And if you have your solitude, you'll have a better attitude, which will give you fortitude to face the day. He went into a solitary place. Minimal distractions. He had a purpose. His purpose was to pray. His purpose was to commune with his Father, to be prepared for the day. And by the way, after this text, this is when he selected the men who would follow him. And if you look at his day before that, talk about a busy day. Then he did that, and then he went and selected the guys who were going to follow him. This was work. What did the apostle say? The apostle said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It's work. The ministry of the word. It's work to pray, to study. It's work. He woke up. Listen, here's the key to a good prayer life. You guys ready? I'm going to write this down. It's not in your handout. Wake up, get alone with God. Okay? Ready? Wake up, get up. Because, you know, there's a difference between waking up and getting up. How many of you know what I mean? Some of you wake up and you just keep slamming the snooze button. Wake up, and get alone with God. It's work. Prayer is worship, prayer is work, and thirdly, prayer is warfare. Prayer is warfare. Why? Well, because when we pray, we are doing something. We are declaring war on our flesh. You know why? Because the natural man doesn't want to pray. The natural man doesn't want to get up early to meet God. You are declaring war on your flesh. You are declaring war on your problems. You are declaring war on your plans. Because it's hard to go to God in prayer and say, okay, God, here's my plans, now bless this. That's not how, we just learned that's not how you do it. So it's warfare as you do that. You say, here's what I want to do today, but before I do anything, I got to go to God in prayer. I declare war on my dreams, because my dreams may not be what God wants for me. And I might discover that in prayer. To pray is warfare because it is to tell God, your will be done. In essence, warfare is you yielding control over to God. It's to wrestle with Him. See, spiritual warfare takes place as we intercede for others, as we cry out to God for help, as we pray for our homes and our relationships and our leadership and our church. Our enemy does not want you to pray. Do you understand that? He doesn't want Faith Baptist Church to gather together and pray. He does not want that. He doesn't care if you read. He doesn't care if you study. Go to seminary. Sing in the choir. Write a book. Whatever you want to do. Don't you pray, though. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now listen to what he's talking about. Casting down imaginations. Things in your where? Mind. The war that is taking place. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How is that accomplished? Through prayer. Through prayer. You see, to pray is to give control to a power that is greater than your enemy. It is to say, I cannot win this without you, God. So I yield myself. I give my body, my thoughts, my life, everything. I want to yield myself to you. And the enemy knows I can't defeat that. But if you stay in your flesh, you cooperate with him. To pray is to submit and obey to the one who has given us victory. It is accepting who you are in Christ. It is acting and living out that way. You see, your enemy and your flesh are no match for the Spirit. None. So when you're praying, what the enemy knows is, I got no chance of winning. As we've been learning on Wednesday nights, the old man stays dead and stops causing a stink. He's got no chance. Why? Because you're living in victory. You're submitting yourself. You're casting down the imagination. So to pray, first one is what? So prayer is what? It's also, and it's also now. And thinking about these three things, how has the practical side of this come to be in our life? How do we take these three really doctrinal truths, if you will, and then how do these actually get applied, the application process? The reality is simple, that prayer is our lifeblood, and if we don't set out to pray and make a point of praying, it will not just happen. Your heart pumps your blood, and your prayers will ultimately guide your life. So you should ask yourself two questions tonight. Number one, where will my prayers take me? And number two, what would change in my life right now if God answered my prayer? If God said, okay, right now. Jeremiah says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. So I want to challenge us to learn and live a principle that was taught to me. I've taught it to most of the staff. Certainly the pastors know it. Because I think in being a prayerful Christian, becoming a person of prayer, we have to set a pace in our life. We have to set a pace. It's like Jesus got up, get up, go out and pray. There's got to be a pace. And a pace, by very definition, is defined as a step or a walk or a movement. So I want you to begin starting tomorrow. Okay? I'm going to throw out a challenge here. All right? I want you to do what I'm about to teach you tonight every day for a week. That's not hard. Some of you are like, ugh. Okay? Listen. Turn off that TV, all right, whatever that nonsense or whatever it is, turn off Bookface and get off all that, okay? And do this. It'll take you just a few minutes each morning, okay? And you're going to see how each word that I'm going to teach you will tie into one of the three areas of prayer, whether it's worship, whether it's work, or whether it's warfare. And then when we're done, after we get all, some of you got to write the notes down, I get it, and I want you to. That's why I give you these handouts, okay? When we're done, then we're going to do something special at the end of the service, all right? So here we go. So pace, P-A-C-E. You see it on your handout?
Yeah.
All right. First word, praise. Praise. Here's what I want you to do. First thing in the morning, I do this often. I did this this morning as my kettle was boiling, waiting for me to make my pour over coffee. I did what I'm about to tell you. I did this morning. Okay? Praise. Don't ask God for anything. Praise Him. Praise Him for His mercy. Get up, say, Lord, this morning I praise You for a new day. Amen? I praise You for Your faithfulness. I praise You for Your mercies. I praise You for Your grace, Lord. I praise You. I get another chance to make things right today. I praise You because You love me. Praise Him. Just start praising Him. Don't ask for a thing. Amen? Just, Lord, I praise You. Spend a few seconds, a few minutes, if you will, doing that. Doesn't need to be long. Start with praise. Worship Him. A is accept. So what does that mean? Next thing out of your mouth is realize who you are in Christ. Lord, I accept that I'm Your son. I accept that I'm Your daughter. I accept who You say I am in You. I accept that I'm forgiven. I accept, Lord. Take you a few minutes. Accept what His word says about you. And then see. Commit. Commit. Commit yourself first thing in the morning to obedience. I love this verse. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Don't you like that? So you think, well, let me think about it. So, well, I'm going to go ahead right away and commit whatever I'm going to do today. Lord, I commit myself to You. I commit my dreams, my plans, my will, my marriage, my relationships, my job, my finances, my children. Lord, I'm committing it to You today. I commit. This is work. This is warfare. You see it? It's right there. And then E stands for embrace. Embrace. Tell God that you are choosing to embrace all that He has for you, no matter what life has to bring. That, Lord, I know that You will embrace me today. I know, Lord, that I am secure in You. And then say this, and this sometimes can be hard, but say this to Him. Listen carefully. Lord, I will embrace others as You have embraced me. Somebody say amen. Lord, I will embrace others today the way You have embraced me. All right, now stand to your feet with me for just a moment. Jerry, if you'd come to the organ or the keyboard, please. I'm going to ask you to do this. Let's bring the pace back up on the screen, please, guys. The last slide with all of the words spelled out. Won't you take your hands and hold them up like this. Everybody, 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 everybody. This is how you start your day. I praise You, Lord. This is how you start your morning. Lord, I praise You. I want this to change your life. I want this to impact your life. I know some of you are Baptists. You couldn't hardly get your hands up. It'll be all right. You'll be all right. Some of you even moved a little. It'll be all right. So here's what you do. Tomorrow morning when you get up, you just open your hands up to God and you say, God, I praise You for this day. I praise You for Your love, Your mercy, Your goodness, Your gentleness, Your kindness. Amen? All right. Here's the next one. Do like this. I accept. Hands out, just like this. I accept. Lord, I accept who I am in You. I accept the goodness at Your right hand. Just as we learned in the song tonight, day by day, trials and blessings, I accept them. I accept them. I realize who I am in Christ. I accept that. I accept that my sins are forgiven. I accept. And take your hands like this. You know what that means? I commit. I commit. Lord, I'm committing it to You. It's a sign of release. I commit. Open them up. Yeah, you step away. Person next to you, if they touch you, you'll be all right. You won't get cooties. I embrace. I embrace who you are. Help me to embrace others of you who have embraced me. I embrace this day. I embrace all that it will bring.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.